Hi, welcome to Cochrane Alliance Church and our online sermons. We are so glad you are able to join us. We pray that this sermon will be a blessing and an encouragement to you this week.
Heavenly Father, I do pray that we would be known as the kindness people. Not people who waver on truth, but who come just as Jesus did, filled with truth and filled with grace. I pray that we would be like you, Lord Jesus, that we would be people who others feel drawn to, and that we would be given by your Spirit the words of life that people can receive and hear. I pray for our service this morning as we come into your word. Holy Spirit, would you let us receive the fullness of your presence and the gifts and the fruit that you long to produce in us? Would our hearts and our minds be open to the work that you are doing in us? We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. One of the things that we've been trying to teach our children is that a family has to work together and a family has to serve one another because that's what it means to be a family. And we tell them if we all help out getting jobs done, if we all do everything that we can to keep the house clean, to get the meals made, and just to generally help each other out, then we have more time as a family to do fun things together. And honestly, the house just works better. The house is more clean. Everyone's a little bit more happy. And as we tell the kids, we say, you know what? We recognize that not everything that you need to do to help this family function is fun, right? It's not fun to take out the garbage. It's not fun to clean a bathroom. These are not fun things to do. But if we all help each other out and if we all work together, so it's not just mom and dad doing everything for everyone, then we all have more time to enjoy one another's company, right? If mom and I do all the work, then there's really no time to do family board games or family activities because there's just too much work that needs to get done. So we need to help each other out. And what I found interesting is as we started getting the kids more involved in household chores, there were a few things the kids actually started to like doing. For an example, a few months ago, Ryan was not happy with us because we said, you've got to clean your room. He's like, look, it's clean. The floor is clean. And we're like, look at your bookcase. Look at your closet. Like, there's things everywhere. You don't even know where anything is. And so we had this battle, right? Like, he doesn't want to clean his room because he's like, it's good enough. And we're like, it's not good enough. We don't think it's good enough. So anyways, he cleans his room. It took 3 days to clean the room. It clearly needed to be done. But here's the interesting thing. As he starts doing it, he starts envisioning how awesome it's going to be to have a clean room. And he starts getting excited to clean his room. And now 3 months have gone by and his room is not spotless, but it is clean. He has kept it clean because he realized as he did it that he actually really enjoyed having a clean room. As he lived in the clean room, he thought, I actually like this. I'm going to continue to do this. And it's something that he values. And so in a lot of ways, working together and serving one another as a family is the picture, the New Testament picture paints of how the church should function. We are called to serve one another as a church family in a variety of ways. We're called to minister to one another. I love what Stacy said. We're the priesthood of believers. There once was a time when there was the priests and there was the laity. And actually in the Christian church, because we all have the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, we are all a priesthood of believers, called to serve and minister to one another. Now, some of the ways that we serve each other are not always our favorite things to do, but we do it because the church family needs help. However, as we serve one another, we may even find, like our son Ryan, that certain things become enjoyable or life-giving for us. We may even find that we're really good, even strangely good at certain things. We may discover that the Holy Spirit has gifted us and empowered us in special ways with special gifts to help our brothers and sisters in the church family. These are called spiritual gifts. The letters of Paul and Peter to the churches in the New Testament just seem to assume that everybody in the church knows that they have received a spiritual gift, and then people are encouraged to pursue and rely upon those spiritual gifts to serve the church that they are a part of. We just can't ignore the scriptural instruction, like what the Apostle Peter says. God has given you each a spiritual gift from his vast variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. It's just the expectation. And so it's imperative that we as a church family recognize the gifts the Spirit gives and be prepared to have the Spirit manifest these gifts in us and through us so we can serve one another. So today is part one of a spiritual gifts thing. We're just doing two parts. And so today is the basic introduction to spiritual gifts. And I am very aware that in this church, we'll have people, maybe you know exactly what your spiritual giftings are. You know exactly what they are. You're using them. You're walking in them. Maybe you did a spiritual gift test and it made perfect sense to you and you've just been off and running with it. There's others of you who've kind of heard about spiritual gifts. Maybe you've done like a spiritual gifts test, but you're like, I don't really know. I've never really known what my gift is. And then I know there's others of you in here who are a little bit newer to the faith, and you're like, I don't even have a clue what you're talking about. Everything you've said right now sounds like nonsense to me. What is a spiritual gift? And you're hoping I'll define it so that you have some frame of reference for what I'm even talking about. Okay, here's the definition. Here's a good way to define spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are nothing less than God himself in us, right? Because the Holy Spirit lives within us, working through us to build up the church and serve one another in love. The gifts can be seemingly ordinary giftings like teaching or administration to seemingly more supernatural things like prophecy or to the discerning of spirits. All the gifts are supernatural manifestations of the Spirit's power working through us. There's a variety of places in Scripture where we get detailed descriptions of what these spiritual gifts are. We see lists of the gifts in Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Peter 4, and you could maybe add Ephesians 4 in there as well. And out of these passages, we can identify about 21 unique gifts of the Spirit. If you look up on the screen, there's going to be a chart. It's a little bit hard to see. You can take a picture of that. But that's 21 different gifts. And what you'll notice from there is that some of these gifts seem kind of ordinary, like teaching, preaching, administration, serving, generous giving, and some of them seem less ordinary and more what we might term miraculous, things like prophecy, words of knowledge, the discerning of spirits. And although I just said that some of these gifts seem more ordinary and some seem more miraculous, I want to be really, really clear here. All the gifts of the Spirit are supernatural, because they are all manifestations of the Spirit working in us and through us. I'll give you an example. We might think of something like the gift of teaching, and we might assume that that's kind of just a natural skill or a natural talent or a passion we have. How are we to know if it's truly a spiritual gift we've received or just something that we're naturally good at? I can speak to this a little bit because I think, I'm pretty sure, certain that I've been given the gift of teaching as a spiritual gift. And this is how it works in my life. It is true that in my life, I have always loved learning, and I've always loved sharing the knowledge that I've learned. And I've also really enjoyed being able to communicate what I've learned well. And so that's sort of part of my personality and nature. However, there is a sense I have that when it comes to studying and teaching the Scriptures, that there's this extra empowerment in me that allows me to make connections in Scripture, to communicate the truth of God, to show its relevance in our lives today that's kind of beyond my own ability. And there are often times that I've finished a sermon, and as I go through that sermon, I am convinced that in my own abilities, in my own talents, I could not have made the right connections. I could not have communicated clearly. I could not have given the insights and relevance apart from a work of the Holy Spirit empowering me in this gifting. So given how I've just described the spiritual gift of teaching, you might have some sense that spiritual gifts relate mostly to your personality traits or things you're naturally good at, with just like a little extra oomph from the Spirit when the Spirit's at work in you. But I want you to remember that nowhere in Scripture are gifts portrayed as just your personality traits or your characteristics or things you're naturally good at. Rather, gifts are portrayed as the Spirit himself manifesting within us to give to another believer what he or she needs. On occasion, I've been praying for someone and I've been given a word of knowledge for that individual. This is not something I can manufacture. This thing is not something that I'm just naturally good at or talented at. It's something the Spirit has produced within me to minister to another person. Here's how Sam Storms gives into this. He says, "While it is often the case that the Spirit of God makes use of an individual's abilities, skills, and talents when they enter into spiritual life in the church, we must maintain a distinction between what we are good at doing in our natural abilities and what the Holy Spirit might equip us to do in our service to the body of Christ. So some spiritual gifts are going to be a little bit related to your natural talents, and some spiritual gifts are just God worked through me, and I have no idea how." Those are the real exciting ones in my mind. But I want to talk a little bit about how this works. Like, I was talking with Pastor Jason about this, and he mentioned that teaching is not a gift that he that, or it's not something that he naturally gravitates to. It's not a natural thing within him. Teaching is not his thing, right? Unlike me, where I love studying, I love, learning new things, and I love teaching those things to people. You know, Jason doesn't gravitate to that kind of stuff. Jason doesn't really even enjoy that all that much. Yet when he teaches, when he preaches, it is evident that the Spirit of God has gifted him to do so. Many of you have received something from Pastor Jason's preaching. And he would say, that is clearly the Spirit of God gifting me, because this is not my natural gifting. This is not my natural talent, but this is how I'm called to serve the church, and the Spirit empowers me to do this. It's not an innate talent. It's not an innate passion, but the Spirit works within him to accomplish his purposes. So just because you are not naturally skilled at or passionate about something doesn't mean the Spirit won't work through you, empowering you to be able to do the work he's called you to do. In fact, like I said, I think it's always nice when a spiritual gift is something we never imagined we'd do. It's confirmation that the Spirit is at work in us and through us. But this leads us to answer another question on spiritual gifts. What are the spiritual gifts for? Well, there's two reasons we've been given gifts or manifestations of the Spirit. The first one we've already talked about, but I want to reiterate it. It's the primary reason the gifts are given to the church. It's so we can minister to one another, so we can serve one another. And by so doing, the whole church family is encouraged, equipped, and we grow together in the Lord. I mean, I even look at the size of our congregation and I go, with our pastoral staff, we are not adequate to the task of ministering to everybody. We're not. There's a lot of people with a lot of need, and there's only a handful of the pastoral staff. And so it becomes imperative that we walk alongside each other using the gifts of the Spirit to serve one another. That's what the gifts are given for. Both Paul and Peter recognize this. Paul writes, "Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." And Peter, as we've already read, states, "God has given each of you a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another." The second reason the gifts are given is to provide evidence of the Holy Spirit's presence and power in our church. The Spirit is made visibly evident in our midst when the gifts of the Spirit are given and used in the church body. Paul calls them manifestations of the Spirit. And I like to think of it like this. The gift is really the Spirit himself. Then the Spirit works through different believers, manifesting in different ways. So I like how Sam Storms thinks of it. He's like, the gifts of the Spirit is not a present you've been given. It's his presence you've been given. That's what the gift of the Spirit is. It's the presence of God in you, working through you to serve somebody else. And so when the gifts of the Spirit are being used in the church body, it's evidence that the Spirit is within us and among us. So if you ever want to see or experience the Holy Spirit's presence or power in the church, it will most often be through other believers ministering to and serving one another in their giftings. Often people will sometimes say something like, "Boy, I really felt the Spirit's presence in the worship service this morning." And sometimes that's very true. Sometimes there's a tangible sense of the presence of God in a space or in a place. You just know God is here with us, and he's always here with us. But sometimes personally feel, or maybe a group of you feel like, "Man, we just felt the presence of the Lord today." I think that's absolutely valid. But sometimes it just feels that way because the worship music was to your liking and the sermon had some good stories or you agreed with it. Again, that's not to say you can't feel or sense the presence of the Spirit in a tangible way. But I will say this. The real proof of the Spirit's presence is seen in the manifestation of the Spirit in the gifts being used, serving one another in love and humility. And in next week's sermon, I'm going to have a story about how that looks. The most accurate way to know that the Spirit is working and moving amongst us is when the gifts of the Spirit are being expressed communally. The presence and power of the Spirit is most evident when we minister to one another and serve one another from the great variety of gifts the Spirit gives. This is the expectation that the apostles had, that each believer in the church would through the Holy Spirit's leading and prompting and empowering, they would serve and minister to one another in all the great variety of ways. It seems that every believer was expected to come into the church gathering and the communal gathering ready to serve and minister to one another. One might teach, another might share a new song in the Spirit, another may share a prophetic word, while another may speak in a heavenly spiritual language, while another interpreted. And so if there is any hindrance to believers walking in the full giftings of the Spirit today, it is that I think, this is my opinion, but I think it's true. Our modern church services do not leave room for the mutual serving and ministering to one another. Obviously, some spiritual gifts are prominently displayed in an operation in the modern Sunday morning church service, but usually by the same individuals using the same giftings. Whereas other gifts of the Spirit find little room for operation during the Sunday morning worship time. And this doesn't really seem to operate how the Apostle Paul envisioned it when he laid out the rules for worship to the Corinthian church. And I want to read to you how the Apostle Paul envisioned the church gathering going. And as I read this, I want you to think about how different this sounds. This is in 1 Corinthians 14, starting in verse 26. When you come together, each of you has a hymn, or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Everything must be done so that the church may be built up. If anyone speaks in a tongue, two, or at the most three, should speak one at a time, and someone must interpret. If there is no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and to God. Two or three prophets should speak, and the others should weigh carefully what is said. And if a revelation comes to someone who is sitting down, the first speaker should stop. For you can all prophesy in turn, so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. There definitely seems to be an assumption by Paul that many people are involved in the gathering of the church in a variety of ways. I just kind of highlighted, each of you comes in with something. Two or at the most three should speak. Two or at the most three prophets should speak. You can all prophesy in turn if that's something that the Spirit of God is doing. And so I recognize that in the early church, where the gathering was likely smaller, where it was usually over a meal in a more intimate setting, these types of things are easier to facilitate. But when I read Scripture, I am convinced that we need to find ways to allow the variety of gifts to operate within our church body. And one of the ways that we cultivate the gifts of the Spirit in us and in this church, I'll just tell you one of the opportunities, is when we have our prayer time at the end of the worship service, we say, if you need prayer for anything, you can come up front here and receive prayer. Our whole prayer team has been trained to not only listen to the need of the person, but also to listen to the Holy Spirit, to see what the Spirit might want to do in the life of that person. This is a place where we're allowing the Holy Spirit to manifest his presence and his giftings in us and through us. Another way of potentially cultivating the gifts of the Spirit is to explore them in depth with your small group, right? Either a book study or a video resource. You can ask me if you want about resources to use. In a lot of ways, a small group is like a church within a church. And I can envision a small group that learns about the gifts of the Spirit and then says, when we come together, we're going to do it like that. Each one of us is going to come in with the gift that God has given us, and we're going to minister to one another in this group. I think that would be powerful. I think that'd be a revolutionary thing. I think you'd see the Spirit of God manifesting in ways you never expected for the building up and the building up of the body. Now, perhaps you're sitting here and you're thinking, okay, the hindrance to me using my spiritual gift is not lack of opportunity. It's that I don't know what my gift is. I don't even know if I have a spiritual gift. I think that's one of the more frustrating things about reading about the spiritual gifts in Scripture is that the apostles just have this assumption that everyone knows what the spiritual gifts are and how they work. But for those of you who wonder if you even have a spiritual gift, the guiding verses this morning are informative. Both Peter and Paul say, if you're a believer in Christ, you've been given a gift. In fact, Paul elaborates on how the church is made strong because every believer has been given a different gift to serve the body. In 1 Corinthians 12, he says this, starting in verse 7. He says, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith, to another gifts of healing, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, and to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. I used a different translation. That's the New Living Translation. Mine's the NIV. Paul goes on to talk about how every gift is important and how every gift is necessary. And the variety of spiritual gifts is what makes the church strong. Paul says, you know, a body has different parts and every part of that body is important, right? If you had a body that was just a hand, it wouldn't be a body and it wouldn't be functioning. Paul goes on and he says, you know, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. So what Paul's saying is this, because what was happening in the Corinthian church is they were like, speaking in tongues is the greatest spiritual gift of all time. And everyone wants to speak in tongues. And Paul goes, listen, not everyone's going to speak in tongues, but everyone is going to be given a gift. And every one of those gifts is important for the body. Every one of those gifts is indispensable to the body. Not one is greater than the other. They are all important. So everyone who believes in Jesus has spiritual gifts because, again, the gifts are not like a present that was given to you. It's the Spirit himself in you working through you. So if you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, which you are if you've placed your faith in Jesus, you have a gift. So how might you cultivate a knowledge of your gift? Well, since the gifts are given to serve and minister to one another, the best place to start exploring what your gift might be is to just start ministering and serving to your fellow believers. And what you will most likely find is that when you are the one who shows up to serve someone else, any number of spiritual gifts may be given to you. What I mean is that the Spirit may manifest in a variety of ways through you. You may receive and then speak a word of knowledge as you pray for someone. You may be the source of encouragement for someone who is discouraged. I'll give you an example. Let's say you're in a situation where you come across someone who is discouraged and depressed, and the burdens of life are just weighing heavy on them. They're slowly losing confidence in God and his goodness. And you decide to invite them out for lunch or take them out for coffee to listen to them. They're probably not wanting you even to provide a detailed theological explanation of why they're suffering. They just want someone to care about their situation and to pray for them and to offer words of encouragement. If you step out in faith to comfort a person you know who needs comfort, you may well discover that the Holy Spirit has given you the gift of encouragement or perhaps mercy. You will be a blessing to that person, even if that gift isn't given. But consider the alternative. Imagine you said, I don't have the spiritual gift of encouragement, so I can't. That would be crazy. So what I'm saying is step out and do things. And as you do these things, the Spirit will manifest in you whatever you need to accomplish the task he set before you. Most of my job is me doing things I am not at all comfortable doing. Or things that I don't even really want to do, but the Spirit says, go and do it. And as I go and do it, the Spirit gives me what I need to minister to that individual. Perhaps someone in your small group is struggling with a physical illness. Maybe this is the Spirit prompting you to say, hey, can I pray for you to be healed? And not in that same way of like we put it in the like bundle of prayer requests at the end, but say, hey, would it be okay if I laid my hand on you? And can I pray in Jesus' name that you would be healed? You may find that the Spirit manifests the healing power of Jesus through you in that moment. It's not something you can command or demand, but it's certainly available for you to ask and try. I do this all the time. That's my job as a pastor. People ask for prayer for healing. I've seen people healed and I've seen people not healed. But I've seen the gifts of healing through me. And it's not me, it's the Holy Spirit, right? But as you serve your brothers and sisters in love and humility, you can trust that the Holy Spirit will empower you with whatever gift is needed to accomplish the encouragement and building up of your fellow believers. And as you do this with regularity, you might discover the Spirit leads you to minister in specific ways more often than others. There might be certain manifestations of the Spirit that just seem to come naturally and quickly and often to you. There might be new areas of serving others that just seem to bring you life and energy. These can be identified as your gifts. You might step up to lead a small group because we have need of it, and you're like, I don't really know if this is something that I can do or want to do, but as you do it, you find that leading and teaching and studying the Word of God to prepare to share with the group just gives you life, and you seem to be really good at it, and your group sees you as someone who's just really good at teaching and explaining. I think you've probably found that teaching is your spiritual gift. And so it seems from reading the Apostle Paul's instructions on gifts that believers can operate in multiple gifts because, again, the gifts are not things given to us. They're literally the Spirit himself manifesting his presence and power through us. So any gift is possible for any believer at any time because it's a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. What you'll find is that there's probably one or two gifts that, for lack of a better term, are more resident in you. Right? Teaching is something in me that is usually present and available, whereas something like a word of knowledge or the gift of healing is less common in me. I ask for it, I walk in faith with it. Sometimes the Spirit manifests that, sometimes it doesn't. But I often think about what the Apostle Paul might think if he was to attend a modern-day church service here in North America. And I think there's a lot of things he'd be shocked by. Not always bad things. I think sometimes he'd be like, wow, I can't believe you guys can get that done. I can't believe you guys do that. Other things I think he'd be like, I can't believe you guys are missing that. And I think our lack of understanding and our lack of the usage of the gifts of the Spirit in communal worship would be a little bit of a shocking thing to him. Because of the church in Rome, Paul says, I long to see you so that I can impart to you some spiritual gift and make you strong. To the Corinthian church, he says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. I'm going to call the worship team up as we close here. But and this is just part one, so this is like a very basic introduction. We're going to do a part two. But to be a Spirit-filled church, which is what we want to be, because that is what we need to be, we've got to take seriously the gifts that have been given to each of us to serve one another and build each other up. If you've never explored the gifts of the Spirit that you've been given, take some steps to see how the Spirit might be working through you to minister to others. And to start this process of finding out or using your spiritual gifts, here's a couple things you can do. Number one, when you meet in the Sunday gathering or with your small group or with other fellow believers, be ready and willing to minister and serve the people you meet there. It might even be appropriate before you come into the church gathering on a Sunday morning to pray, Holy Spirit, lead me to those you want to lead me to. Let me be aware of the ways in which you need me to serve. Come with the expectation that your role in the church is not only to be ministered to, but to follow the Spirit's lead in serving and ministering to others, always with love and humility. Secondly, take opportunities to start serving in some capacity. We do have an entire volunteer board out there in the main entrance with a variety of ministry areas. And some of the spiritual gifts are listed in the role description. Now, I'm going to say this. Not every place you serve in the church is going to fit your spiritual gift. But sometimes we just need to help each other out. But as I mentioned, the more you start serving, the more you may recognize the Spirit at work in you, manifesting through you in unexpected ways or leading you to opportunities to minister to others you didn't have before. Again, take seriously the idea that you have been given a gift to build up the church body. Take seriously the call to be a priest to your fellow believers, to minister to one another. And finally, we do have a one-day workshop coming up on the spiritual gifts that are listed in 1 Corinthians 12. These are the ones considered to be more overtly or miraculous or supernatural. They're the ones that are often misunderstood, ignored, or abused. You or your small group could sign up and register when that opens, learn a little bit about how the Spirit manifests through you for the good of others. But most of all, I think the most important thing is to recognize that the Spirit wants to work through you to build up others. That's how the church was designed. And they are going to minister to you through the Spirit at work in them. So let me pray over us that the Spirit would fan into flame the gifts that He has given us. Lord Jesus, I pray for our church and our church family. I pray for those who are gathered here today. I pray that you would fan into flame the gifts that you have given us. I pray that we would walk in faith as we minister to one another. I pray that if people are not sure what you are calling them to, that you would give clarity to that. I pray that we would take seriously the call to minister to and serve one another in love and humility. I pray that we'd be open to every working that you want to do in our lives and in our gatherings. And let the name of Jesus be praised in this place. We ask this in your name, Jesus. Amen.